because I think we'll be able to submit that next week. And then this one's next, the oyster one is next.
Welcome to This Week in Pubathon, episode 14. The oyster paper is always next. Yamini, you got two goals this week. Run methyl kit on mocks. I know you did that because you showed us. And read some policy methyl.
Ploidy papers.
Ploidy. Nope, yeah, sorry. It's policy. If you didn't read policy papers on methylation,
darn.
Then it doesn't really count. We can't change the rules halfway through.
This is true. Yeah, here I was thinking I had 10 points, but clearly I don't. No, I read like a few. I had to do some like digging for some more, but I think I like found some like social, like I have like a, like there's some pretty interesting like diploid, triploid, tetraploid methylation comparison papers in like ants. And I think I have like a rice one as well that I found this morning. So like I read some, but I think I need to read some other ones. I'd still give myself a 10.
All right. Mariana had two, make larval physiology figure and outline results section for E5 paper.
Yep. Did both of those. Also as bonus, had a paper I was working on a while back get accepted. It's one of my last coral PhD paper, which makes
awesome.
Me really happy.
Congratulations. So, that's great.
Bonus points there. But yeah, I did all of those things. The figures aren't anything super interesting. I basically was doing just some general box plots of symbiont cell densities and larval size for a paper we're working on. So I got those done, and then some of the co-authors are looking at those. So, cool. So 9 out of 10?
9? I thought you were going above 10. You said bonus.
Oh, okay. Well, 11 out of 10.
11. Laura, figure out and do expression by genetic association.
Yeah. So I think I figured it out, and I think I did it. So.
So you think you'll give yourself how many points?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do a 10 for this week because I've done quite a bit of work on this paper.
I know Catherine was working frantically this morning on her paper. I don't see her here. Maybe she's too.
You don't see me?
Oh, there you are.
Do you want me to give my score?
Yeah, you go through discussion of Ole paper and send out Bass paper to co-authors.
I was working frantically on that today. You're right. I did send out this paper from my postdoc to co-authors. So that's nice because I think we'll be able to submit that next week. And then this one's next. The oyster one is next. Yeah, and I went through the intro a lot more on the Ole paper. I went through the discussion a little bit. So yeah, I feel like the intro is now pretty close to having more eyes look through it. Yeah, so I'll give myself an 8.
That's all 8. Aiden, you were going to get ambient temperature comparison through WGCNA.
Yeah, so I ended up actually getting all those crabs through WGCNA. So yeah, I'll give myself a 9 for that. Still have some work to do in terms of figuring out like what those results actually mean and visualizing the output in different ways, as was kind of posted about in the discussion that I posted. But I'll say a 9.
This is a pretty high scoring week. Grace. Did I just jinx it, Grace, before? So should I not have said that before I went to?
I cleaned the figure. What? With like, so the labels don't overlap. And then I started cleaning up the GitHub repo for the paper. So those are my two goals.
Done and done. Oh, I shouldn't. I jinxed myself. Steven, how many points do you get this week? 0. Bringing down the average. I think it's everybody, right? I think some people might have put some scores on the board. All righty. Let's go back up backwards and see what folks are working on, what kind of feedback you want, pictures, figures, whatever. Let's go, start with you, Grace. Let's go back up the list, my list here. So if you've got the figure, well, yeah. What you got going on this week? I'll let you go first.
My laptop keeps freezing, so I'm not going to share my screen, but I'm going to put the link to the picture in the chat.
Okay.
The axes are still kind of small type, but because it's just like semantic space X and semantic space Y, I don't know if it's super important if those are readable or not. But for the paper, I was thinking of just cropping out that side thing with the temperature treatment and the fold enrichment and just having it be the bubbles and then just explaining what the size and colors mean in the caption for the figure.
Yeah, I'd say clearly the color legend's not needed, right? You could just say color, mm-hmm. whatever color it is, orange and purple. Again, to reorient people, this is proteins changing in response to temperatures and oysters, right?
Yeah, the enriched differentially abundant proteins between two different temperatures.
And the orange ones are elevated at elevated temperature and the purple are elevated at lower temperatures, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are those your colors? Are you sticking with those two colors?
I don't have to. I just liked them when I made them, but yeah. They can be any color.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only question is the size. So what are, folks' opinions on in general, but yeah. What do you think about it? And is it, and the, I guess the other question is the fold enrichment legend necessary? Because if you don't have it, you really can't quantify that in the text.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the big one, 7.5. To me, it's hard to do. Yeah.
I agree. I think the size would be good to keep in the legend and the color you can just, state in the text. And in, depending on the code that you use for it, you might be able to do show.legend equals true or false. And then in R, you can just tell it whether or not to show up in the legend.
Okay.
I would recommend maybe like keeping the fold enrichment legend, but then making that a muted color.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's a little too bold now, and that's my eye just keeps going to that.
What do you mean muted?
Gray.
Yeah. Oh, black right. Color. Instead of solid black.
Yep. And minor, but maybe this is done outside of R, but write out fold enrichment without the underscore. All right, nice. So where do things stand with this then, this effort then?
Yeah. So something that I've been started working on today is cleaning up the associated GitHub repo for the paper and just kind of going through the supplemental files because I don't think that they're fully annotated with like Go and UniPro stuff. So just kind of cleaning that stuff up. And then, yeah, I think that's it for that. But then another unrelated goal is to do with the crab paper. So there isn't an easy way to just submit a preprint to a journal on Research Square. I contacted
am I confused? Isn't that how we submitted it? Isn't that the whole reason we went there? Because we submitted it to the journal using that? Or we submitted it to the journal. Oh, and part of the process was we clicked a button and it becomes a preprint.
Yes.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. And so because you're the corresponding author, you can access that preprint through like a Research Square account, but the like customer support or whatever the term is, they said that there's no easy way to just submit that preprint somewhere else. You have to go through that other journal's like submission process.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, it's run by a publisher.
Yeah. Someone did mention that in like the cover letter to your new journal, you could link to your preprint. But yeah, then,
well, we don't want to do any more work. We just want to push a button. Did you tell them that?
I asked if there was just like a quick button, like, and she was like, nope. But I think one of the other journals that we were thinking about for this crab paper was BMC Genomics. Because they had similar like crustacean transcriptome papers published.
Yeah.
So I could start looking into like submission process for that one.
Yeah.
Preparing for that.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know if so folks saw, but submitted to Scientific Reports. Only got one reviewer. Didn't read it right. And then we revised it and came back and said they wanted like qPCR done to validate the, it was, It was tough. I mean, the editor didn't do anything, and with one reviewer, I don't really think he will. So I don't know. It's a little bit of, yeah, it's just good luck of where to go. I mean, could also do like BMC research notes. I mean, granted, it's not a huge, you know, it's not like 100 samples or anything. It is a small number of sample sizes, but it's valuable data. It's just really who you get as a reviewer. Do you have anything else, have any other thoughts on that, on the journal for that, appropriate journal for that paper? In short, it was crab temperature and disease, a couple pooled samples with some, but also kind of a description of a transcriptome. And that's kind of how we tried to sell it, you know, description of a transcriptome. Oh, and by the way, we have some expression data too that gives you some pretty cool insight into both temperature and immune function in these.
What about the like GGG genes, genomes, and something, something? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we just did. Jay just did something. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, look at the process for a couple of those, the G3, the BMC genomics, the BMC research notes. I mean, could even draw plus. I mean, we haven't done plus one. I don't know what the processes are. And that's, you know, I'm trying to think on the fly, is it even worth like putting into bioarchive? Because at least in a bioarchive, you can pop into different journals. So we might do that as a separate effort, is just put the preprint on bioarchive, because Research Square really didn't really provide us with that much, not that much value. I don't even know if it's public anymore. I'll have to look into that.
It is. Yeah.
It is? You can still see it? Okay.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you wouldn't want you, encourage you to submit to their journals. I think it's run by Springer, and BMC is a Springer. Okay. Yeah. So we'll have to figure that one back out.
Okay.
All right. So did you want to concisely number off your goals for Laura?
Yeah. So for the crab paper, look into the list that we just came up with of other journals for submission process. And then what else did we just say? Fix the legends for the figure three for the oyster paper, and then continue cleaning up the GitHub repo for that oyster paper.
How is the paper itself?
Still some comments from Matt that I haven't looked into too much yet. It's more just like he recommended some expansion on topics that I kind of touched on in the discussion. And so I still have like papers that I can read that can help with that expansion in the discussion.
Okay. All righty. So Aiden, how about you? What you got going on?
All right, so my plans are to kind of get that cold temperature comparison through WGCNA as well, to figure out a direction to go at this point. I was thinking, I mean, in addition to kind of, okay, so get the cold temperature comparison through WGCNA. And
I'm curious, why, maybe this was what, it's always something we probably already talked about, but we were developing those new transcriptomes, but you're using the old transcriptomes. Is that right? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah. So the ones that we, the old transcriptome was useful when we were trying to separate hematidinium from bear dye early on, was my understanding.
Okay.
But for this one, since we were looking at, for like if there was, say, patterns of expression that were similar for both bear dye and hematidinium, like those were also interesting. And so in order to use both of those, wait, hold on. Okay, so I have the bear dye transcriptome, and I have the hematidinium transcriptome, and I have the mixed transcriptome. Can I take, say, like all my bear dye counts and all my hematidinium counts that are aligned to like those specific, like species specific transcriptomes, and just like combine them together, like merge them?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not, I know you can't probably do it now in the car, but sometimes it'd be nice to visualize where things will go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still, I mean, it could be my memory and the what WGCNA will output, but you know, one, at least what I recall is one cool part of it was looking at the trends over time, because we've got those individual crabs. And I guess I never really saw that. I mean, did you get any useful information from the WGCNA that you enjoyed?
I mean, I had a bit of a hard time deciphering some of the output. I will say that the heat map that did come out of that did show some kind of cool results with specific eigengenes that were closely linked to crab over time, were linked to specific crabs, but there weren't any that were really linked to specific temperatures. I was looking at what Yamini was doing, which I was basing a lot of this off of Yamini's script, but she kind of continued the analysis with WGCNA by running GOMU on like each group of genes.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of like an interesting way to look at specific expression patterns and see like what are the biological processes that are linked here.
First thing you said was pretty interesting, and what you said that you found patterns across crabs that were similar, right? That were different treatments, right?
No, so
oh.
This yeah, so like this was only ambient crabs, so like say crabs A, B, and C,
yep,
on day 2 and 17. And so basically I didn't really see any differences between expression just looking at like the broad eigengenes on days 0, yeah, 2, and 17. But okay. I did crabs A, B, and C, which is kind of like what you'd expect. They're different crabs. Or what okay. I would expect.
Right? Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's probably worth like seeing, imagining where we're going with this and what how useful it is before we go too much further. Okay. So what would be the specific goals?
Well, the specific goals would be get the cold temperature comparisons to WGCNA, just because, you know, now that I've got it figured out, it should be pretty okay. quick.
Okay.
Try to make one of those graphs like you showed.
Okay.
In a discussion that tracks specific gene expression over time,
yeah,
of individual genes, and then kind of determine next step and make progress in that direction.
Okay.
It's pretty nebulous.
Nebulous, but. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I hate to say it, but when Aiden's talking about that, Laura, it seems like there's some value in the WGCNA with your stuff. I'm just throwing that out there in case you didn't have anything else to do. But maybe that's our answer to find the relationship with the genetics and gene expression.
Perhaps. I thought it was more like a timeline comparison.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. But I'm still trying to figure out all the other figures that Aiden generated must mean something about patterning. But it's got to be similar to the PCA stuff that you've done. I can't imagine it's not, but it would probably be worth to spend some time and understand all that, because there, without a doubt, that is valuable analysis that's complementary to something that we do more traditionally. So we should at least be able to wrap our heads around it. Right. So moved on to Catherine. What are your goals for? What are you working on for this coming week?
Yeah. I, with the oyster paper, would like to finish going through the discussion. No, finish going through the discussion so I can get to a point that I feel like the intro's pretty much at, where I can be like, all right, someone look at this. That's one big goal. There's, you know, like a little part in the results I realized wasn't totally, it's still kind of, I put numbers down to fill into sentences. So I need to add those two sentences. And then I have a paper that was accepted and now they're like, okay, you know, where's all your raw data? And I haven't uploaded that yet. So
what? It wasn't available from the beginning as soon as you got it?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things like, okay, like I've submitted the paper, like I'll worry about this later.
Later,
and
yeah.
That later was a couple weeks ago. So that later is now.
Yeah, I guess you weren't using our data management plan, but oh well.
No, I wasn't. But yeah, those are my goals.
Where are you going to put your data?
This is SRA, and then The scripts and stuff are in a good place.
Yeah.
And the intermediate data, it's just I didn't put the raw data up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pain though. That would be a reason not to do it if it's SRA.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's a pain. I mean, are there other like short, faster read? There's not anything else for that, no, right? No,
we just put it there. Some of the EBI stuff, sometimes EBI is easier, but I still think we go in through NCPI most of the time. But we try to, as soon as we get the data, we try to just get it in there because it is a pain.
Yeah, this data was received in 2014, which is a long time ago, but I, at that stage, had no idea what to do with that. Yeah, so that's my excuse why 6 years later it's not up yet.
Oh, what you working on, Mac? You got pretty single cell pictures or the same old stuff?
Same old stuff. But two things. One is this idea of kind of feeling frustrated with the new genome having 10,000 more genes in the Pacific oyster, and what the hell does that mean? Going in and doing some pre-filtering on the genes before clustering, which I had never done before. So I've gone in and said, you know, okay, if a gene's expressed in fewer than 5% of the cells, filter it. And that gets me down to about 5,000 genes out of the 38,000. So there's a lot of those genes that are not expressed in my little embryos. I don't know if that's super surprising. You think this is like a maternal set, though. I would think there would be a lot of genes in there, but.
But that doesn't affect your outcome, does it?
No, I mean, same thing. I've been messing with this data for a long time, and all this filtering, I still get the same plus or minus group of genes.
Okay,
I'm not in like a whole new set. But it just feels like a better way to go when you're doing these kind of downstream, like give me a top marker gene. It's specific, but it's very, very lowly expressed. It's like, well, that's probably not useful and really not helpful for an in situ because you're not going to see it at all. So I don't know, for better or for worse, those are the filtering things I'm doing, but it's not really changing the marker genes.
Okay.
And then I had a front yard chat with Lauren Vandepas on Friday, and we kind of have a things we need to do to get in situs going. She thought it would take about, you know, a month as a side project. So I have a list of things I need to do. One, get her genes. Two, fix embryos, which for me kind of feels like a, I don't know, sit at Taylor day.
Yeah.
Can I have some trochophores? Hey, you guys fertilized 8 hours ago. Can I take a little sample and just get fixed samples for her to do a whole mount in situs, and then she's going to get a list of reagents that we'll need to buy, which won't be everything. She has some stuff, but
I mean, if you had to, could you do a strip spawn in the lab and sample that way?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. I just want to kind of, when you look at some of the in situs that have been done to look at genes involved in primordial germ cell specification, they go out to Belliger, and that's like the first time that you say, yep, I see tissue in these two little primitive gonads. So it's like the first time that you get placement that you're like, yep, that's probably it, because there's two clusters of cells on the opposite sides. So yeah, I could sit there and get trochophore and maybe later, but to raise them all the way up to Velager is not fun.
Yeah. So what were your points last week?
My points last week? I don't know. I'm just fighting with data still. I don't like the number of genes in the genome and filtering and art objects that are called stupid things. But I'm going to get a good points for sitting with Lauren and going through that in situ stuff and kind of understanding what's going to happen. I'm going to give myself half points.
Okay.
So that was an extra goal.
So what is your goal for next week?
I want to have genes to Lauren based on a couple different
cutoffs,
because she needs FASTAs to start designing primers and things. So.
Yeah.
And there's at least a handful, you know, it can't be 20 genes. She thought maybe 5 or 6, including VASA. So gotta be smart genes, but
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Laura, how about you?
Well, I am in writing mode, so I'm just going to keep doing that for this expression paper. And yeah, I don't know. It's quite a bit that I've been working on, so I don't really want to take much time today to share it. But I would like to say, Catherine and Stephen, I don't think I have capacity to go through that intro like in the next 2 weeks. I think I'm gonna have to put that on pause just so I can try to get a draft of this paper done. Hopefully that's not devastating.
No, yeah, that's totally fine. I was gonna say, yeah, it can be very hard to work on different papers at the same time. So yeah. You gotta flow, you gotta work the flow.
Yeah, I tend to have a hard time working, like really putting my energy into multiple projects, especially when I'm like in writing mode for a paper. So yeah, I'll try to circle back to that once I have a draft of this paper, or I will circle back to that once I have a draft.
Cool. Can you show us one exciting figure from the work you're working on?
Sure.
Or the most exciting?
Ooh, okay. What am I sharing? Am I sharing?
I'm seeing the gene ontology.
You're seeing me move stuff around?
Yeah, I've seen you move
stuff. Okay. So, by the way, I forgot to thank Grace for providing the code to make these bubble plots that she got from the author of that one paper. So thank you, Grace. That was awesome. So yeah, so basically this figure is showing enriched biological processes in response to acidification in three populations of the Olympia oyster. So the first column is enriched processes in Daybob Bay, and then I have Fidalgo Bay. And then there was actually no differential expression in Oyster Bay. And the colors indicate whether or not transcripts were more abundant in blue, if there was a mix, or if there were less of them in response to the high PCO2. And then the sizes are like how many genes, basically. So there was just a ton of like, basically shifts in metabolism, oxidation reduction processes. And then I have the same figure for molecular functions. And there's some consistencies between Daybob Bay and Fidalgo Bay, specifically in like oxygen transport. And then I also did the same figures for differences that I've observed between populations not exposed to high PCO2. And that is, I have to like pull those up. Oh, and I did, the cool thing is I did that for adults and larvae. So like, for example, it's not a great plot, but like each of these vertical sections indicate genes that were differentially expressed between two populations because they're like pairwise comparisons. So you can see if there are any processes that are consistently different in adults and larvae between two populations. So for example, transport was a process that was different between Daybob Bay and Fidalgo Bay. Yeah, so I'm dealing with that, and I'm also kind of like redoing some of my like basic plots. So like, for example, I can show that there was different like growth rates and responses to PCO2 in the different populations. So like right now I'm like redoing this paper to focus on population-specific responses to OA in the adults and the larvae. And so like Daybob Bay, they don't grow very fast. They're small. And there was no growth in response to, there was no differences in growth rate whereas there were in the other two populations. And then I have some, I'm also like bringing in my gonad data, which I might not include, but like the Oyster Bay population, there was no differential expression in the gill tissue, but I do have like differences in gonad development between the two treatments. So trying to like assess things in terms of energy balance. So yeah, that's basically it.
So your one goal is to work more on this paper. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I want to finish the discussion this week.
Okay.
And try
your figures are beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
The one thing is, I don't know if you can do it, but some of those go processes where it goes into two lines, it sure would be nice if you could somehow get them into one line, but I don't know how to
I could just edit them at the end, which I,
it's not a huge deal, but
yeah.
All right. How about you, Ariana?
This week, I'm just going to have one goal because I'm going to spend most of my time working on a postdoc fellowship due next week. So that one goal is to finish the results section of a coral diversity paper. It's like a collaboration we did 3 years ago or something, and I just need to get the paper out. It's taking forever because none of my collaborators use GitHub. So they have to make edits on things and then send it to me through email, and then I update the GitHub.
Word document?
Yeah. Basically. So that's taking me a long time. And so that's my goal, is I just need to finish that this week. So I really appreciate people who use GitHub.
All right. And Yamini.
Yeah. So I think, I have DML from the Manchester paper. So I think one of my goals will be doing my like standard DML genome location characterization thing. So just trying to figure out where in the genome these DML are. And I'm also hoping to go through them in IGV just to look at them. So I would say goal number one is look at the shit in IGV. And then goal number two is like characterize genome locations and then keep reading ploidy papers. I think that's...
And this week you're going to tackle the policy papers too?
Yes, the policy papers. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Methylation policy.
Yeah.
Anything else new in the publication world? I saw a preprint on Altheria this morning, which was interesting. We played around that with years ago. I don't really see many people using it anymore, but that'll be interesting to see how many different preprints. I mean, we kind of touched on that with Grace, as having preprints in so many locations. What's going to happen in the future with that? It's going to be interesting. But
so yeah, is there a reason why you didn't do bioarchive?
No reason. It was just, I think we will. I don't know if we explicitly stated that, Grace, but I think we will. It was more of just ease of use. When we went in to submit to one journal, you could just click a button, and I kind of thought it was cool. Emma did it, and you could actually see live kind of the whole process, which was interesting. But I was kind of bummed, and I also just assumed you could then take the preprint and go to a different journal, like in bioarchive. Mm-hmm. Especially within the publisher. But
it's not a publishing thing, but an advertisement for my seminar on Friday on RadSeq stuff. If you guys have seen that.
Yeah, it's on our lab calendar, isn't it? Is it? It's on my calendar. I don't know. What's, tell us more. What is this RAD stuff?
Yeah, RAD stands for Restriction Associated Digest. No, so this is my marine omics working group, and it's our first like panel discussion. So we have four people who either develop RAD genotyping pipelines or have written papers that test parameters a lot, and I'm like moderating and asking them questions, and then the audience can ask them questions, and yeah.
But you're doing a whole series of these, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like whole genome sequencing, genotyping in 2 weeks, and then like filtering for genetic variants. And then there'll be a functional genomics one. Yeah. They'll be recorded and put on the website.
Made available on the website.
Yeah.
But also in the publication front, you and your group of interns is working on that reproducibility thing now, right? Are they actually doing it now?
Yeah. Okay. They're evaluating a bunch of papers for how reproducible they are.
Right.
Which is exciting. Yeah.
So are we scared that some of ours might get checked and not be reproducible?
I'm sure they're in there. I haven't looked at it.
I was gonna kick one through that Google spreadsheet just to see what the process would be. Has somebody done that? What, the interns, have they?
I'm meeting with them tomorrow to like answer questions. They're like supposed to test it over the weekend. Yeah, we'll see. I've kicked through my papers and been like, well, it's pretty good. It's not perfect.
Yeah. Would be a neat metric if it's, you know, to come up to even to apply to, or even like what we're talking about in this meeting, like, okay, this is where we need to be. Okay. Can we run through this checklist and make sure that everything is there? So,
I mean, I can send the spreadsheet if people are worried that we'll judge your paper one day poorly.
We judge them all the time.
Yeah.